Hey, good morning, and thank you for showing up at Trinity Lutheran Church this morning. You're probably saying, where are you, Pastor Jim? Well, it's a good question, because I'm on the church property, but I'm actually here at the outdoor play area and school for the preschoolers. You see, everything will be outside this year. The teachers and the kids will be outside to keep them safe. The kids are excited about this new year, spending the entire year outside. But we're going to head into church at this time. As we see, we're just on the other side of the parking lot. There's a path right here that leads up to a tent that we put up a couple days ago. That, too, will be a part of the outdoor classroom for the children. Come with me. Now you can see it. You see the tent? You see the cross? We're heading into that cross. You know, none of us ever thought we would be here. I certainly never thought I would be here 2020 going through everything we're going through. But here I am. And our opening song is, Here I Am, Lord. Let's head in.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you and will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send?
here I am, Lord. We worship this day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is week 29, and it is good that we are here, COVID weary, but still worshiping together at Trinity Lutheran Church. Let us pray. Open our hearts and minds, Lord. Inspire us and uplift us that we may change the world for good, for you, for all. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Orion is going to read for us this morning. He's somewhere out there. Orion, over to you.
I don't know about you, but I could certainly do with 2020 getting over with. We have a star in the east to guide us. I thought the stable to be an appropriate backdrop setting, just in encouraging the holidays that much earlier to arrive. Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Orion. We are proud of you, of your seminary journey, and your journey with us. Our love to Brad. Carl is going to sing for us at this time a beautiful piece called Master of My Heart.
From the shore where the sky meets the sea, there are dark clouds on the horizon, and the calm before the storm is calling out to me to take to the higher ground. A word to the wise is sufficient, and only a fool would ignore. And I have been a fool in these angry waves, so I'm turning my heart for the shore. Master of this heart of mine, O my captain of the sea, you have calmed the angry waves. Could you call this storm in me? Most of my life I've heard a siren song, whispering my name in the night time, and often as not I would follow along, forsaking solid ground. But sailing through uncharted waters is not the life that it seemed to be, and I would gladly trade this weathered sail to be back where the land meets the sea. Master of captain of the you calm this storm in me.
Carl, our sermon this morning is based on the words of Jesus found in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 28 through 32. But there are really two words that I want you to remember from this day. If you take nothing else away with you, remember these two words, and the two words, show up. Show up. I thank you for showing up this morning as we are worshiping. Woody Allen said, showing up is 80% of life. And Thomas Edison said, 90% of one's success in business is perspiration. The world is run by those who show up. Now, we may argue a little bit over the percentages, but I believe that those statements are basically true. One more unattributed quote that I came upon this week was this: actually, I've found 90% of success isn't showing up, it's shutting up. You can draw your own conclusions on this that one. But it was Abraham Lincoln who said, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. The sermon title this morning is Showing Up. So are you ready? Are you ready for a parable this morning? It's very short. It won't take long. Now the setting is Jerusalem. It is Holy Week. Jesus is in the temple, but in a few days he will be executed on a cross. The religious people are questioning him. Jesus, by what authority are you teaching? And by what authority are you healing? Who gave you this authority? The religious people were God's chosen people. They were called to work for justice, to extend grace, to care for the widow and the orphan, to work for the common good of all people, to extend hospitality to the stranger. But they were human. So even though they had committed their very lives to God and to God's work, they were really more concerned with their own position and power. In terms that we can understand, they were more concerned with being reelected than they were with helping the people. A little harsh? Maybe. Perhaps that's unfair to the scribes and the Pharisees. The religious people made it their business to protect God from sinners and to protect themselves from being associated with common people, and at all costs to protect their position and their power. In the temple, they interrogated Jesus, saying, "Tell us, by whose authority are you teaching? You have implied, Jesus, that we should welcome prodigal, disrespecting children home. You have implied that we should forgive repeat offenders. And while we're at it, we have to ask you, Jesus, why do you spend so much time with riffraff, prostitutes, and tax collectors?
unclean, unworthy sinners. What authority do you have to teach this nonsense? Jesus said, let's try this. I will tell you a story, and you can tell me what you think. Now, the religious people really didn't like Jesus' stories, but that did not keep Jesus from telling them. And so the great teacher said, there once was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go to work in the vineyard today. And he answered, not today, Dad. I'm a little too busy today to go work in the vineyard. But later, that son changed his mind, and he showed up at the vineyard to work. The father went to his second son and said, son, go to work in the vineyard today. And without hesitation, the son said, I will go, father. But he did not show up. Jesus looked at the religious people and said, that's it. That's my story. What do you think? Which of the sons did the will of the father? And they said, the son that showed up at the vineyard. Good answer, Jesus said. And I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. I can't tell you how that warmed their hearts. You see, words like that, words to powerful people who had promised to serve God, but in some respects never really showed up, words like that will get you killed. And that's what happened. Showing up is 80% of life. The world is run by those who show up. If you are raising children or grandchildren, 80% of it is just showing up, being present. During these crazy pandemic days, sometimes the only way we get to see our grandchildren is over the phone or the computer. We are Zoom or FaceTime grandparents, and we thank God or some techie that we can stay connected, though we are apart. But when we are actually with our children or grandchildren, we should show up. We should be prepared and ready to be present. Not present while on your phone or checking your email on your computer as they play by themselves. That would be like saying that you are intending to go to the vineyard and in fact you had no intention of showing up. You see, kids know if you show up, if you show up for games, or performances, or for meal time, or for story time, or for homework. And you do not need to be perfect. And they don't care what kind of car you drive. And they don't care how much money you have in your IRA. They are really very forgiving. They simply want to know that they are important enough to you that you will show up and be present with them. Showing up is 80% of life, 80% of a successful marriage is simply about showing up. Showing up, being truly present with your spouse. Concentrate on showing up, and couples will find that most of their problems can be overcome if they show up and if they show up together. Showing up is 80% of life. That is true at work. That's true on your sports team or at church. Show up. The world is run by those who show up. Now, we are some 5 weeks away from Election Day, but in Washington, we vote by mail. We can cast those ballots from the comfort of our own home. We have been entrusted with the privilege of voting. People have died to give you the right to vote. I want to encourage you to show up. I want to encourage you to vote. Now, you've heard me say that I'm not smart enough to tell you how to vote, and that's still true. More importantly than that, it is not my calling to tell you how to vote. You see, it makes no difference to me who you vote for. I will love you either way. But I do care that you show up in the vineyard, that you show up on election day. Now, I'm here to tell you that the one who showed up in the vineyard pleased God. And the one who did not show up was a disappointment to God. Now, don't get me wrong, the one who did not show up was not beyond grace or beyond salvation or forgiveness or reconciliation, but he was a disappointment just the same. I don't care how you vote, but show up. Now, on occasion, someone will ask me how I'm voting. How do you vote, Pastor? Okay, well, at least tell me, how do you figure out who to vote for? Well, the key to that question goes back to our parable this morning. The religious people showed up in the temple. They wore their fancy robes and said flowery prayers. They were masters of ritual and tradition. There was only one problem. Often they showed up without God. Without God, they gave themselves over to power and security and self-interest. 2,000 years later, we should not show up without God. God reminds us to look outside of ourselves, to see past self-interest, to pursue the common good. Without God to remind us to love our neighbor, we get really busy loving ourselves. Without God, we are mostly lost. Now, I want to encourage you to show up for your children, but I want you to take Jesus with you and let Jesus be your guide. And I want to encourage you to show up in your marriage, but don't go alone. Take Jesus with you. And I want to encourage you to show up at work or play and take Jesus with you to your work or your play. I want to encourage you to take Jesus with you when you drive your car down Highway 525, when you get on the ferry, or when you attend a homeowners association meeting. You see, our faith in Jesus should inform all areas of our lives, our ethics, our morals, our day-to-day interactions with family and friends and strangers. Our faith in Jesus should inform the way that we vote. I want you to show up and vote. Now, when you sit down at your kitchen table with ballot in hand, take a moment, pull up a chair, and invite Jesus to sit with you. That's right, don't show up alone. Take Jesus with you. What does that mean, Pastor Jim? Well, let's circle back to the lesson that Orion read for us. When you pick up that ballot and get ready to vote, let these words run through your voting mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you not look to your own interest, but to the interest of others. And let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Wow. Show up. Show up to vote. But don't show up without Jesus. You may remember that the Bible, the Old and New Testaments alike, cautions us against neglecting the most vulnerable. The Bible, Old and New Testament alike, call us to care for the poor, the oppressed, the widow and the orphan, the alien, those who linger in hunger at our gates. those who are voiceless and powerless show up always. After all, showing up is 80% of life. The world is run by those who show up. Show up always, but don't show up without Jesus. If we show up without Jesus, without our moral compass, then we are likely to end up looking like those religious leaders who were interrogating Jesus this morning. That means that we are not far removed from those who would kill to keep their position, would oppress the common people to keep their security, would beat down the widow and the orphan, would treat the alien with disdain, would restrict the rights of women, would burden the poor with taxes, would persecute any who worshiped or looked differently than we do. When we are more worried about being reelected than we are about the common good of God's people, then we have lost our way. When politicians are more worried about re-election than the common people they were called to serve, then the whole system is in trouble. May God help us, for I fear that the whole system is in trouble. May God help us to show up, to show compassion, to show kindness, to vote. And before we seal that envelope, you may want to turn to the one who is with you always and say, "What do you think, Jesus? Do you think I got this right? Do you mind taking a look at my ballot?" You see, Pastor Jim is not smart enough to tell you how to vote. So will you help me, Jesus? If we open our hearts to the moving of God's Spirit and the Spirit of God's Word, Jesus will help us to vote. Show up and show up with Jesus. Now, I know that many of us are highly stressed, perhaps even to the breaking point right now. I know that many are despairing. But hear this very clearly. If you shut down, they win. If you refuse to be a part of the solution, they win. If you let this rancor tear our community apart, they win. If you let this divisiveness divide our church, they win. May God be with us, and may God bless America, and may we show up. Amen.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Lay me down like a bridge. when you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part, oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. Sail on, silver girl, sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine. Oh, friend, I'm sailing right behind, like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind, like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease.
Lift our hearts now to God in prayer. Our song response will be, "Calm My Heart." Let us pray.
The prayer response today is a new prayer response, "Calm My Heart." And the prayers will begin with instrumental backing, and then they'll sing that first prayer response. We'll sing it twice, so you have a chance to learn it, and then once after each petition, and an amen at the end. "Calm My Heart."
Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. As we offer our gifts to you, O God, remind us that they are gifts you have provided to us for our daily needs. Often we grumble, particularly in this time of COVID-19 that has brought us to a wilderness full of questions and concerns. Yet you remain among us, faithful and plentiful. Knowing you are always there, calm our hearts as we call to you.
You have calmed and quieted my heart. Hear the prayers we lift to you this day. You have calmed
and question. We put you to the test. Our mouths say yes, but our deeds say no. When we wander off your path, when we fail to follow through on our good intentions, when we give our attention to trivial things, gently call us back to you. Empty our hearts of anger and pride. Empty our souls of greed and selfishness. Empty our minds of envy, doubt, and mistrust. Reclaim us with your love and calm our hearts as we call to you.
You have calmed and quieted my heart. Hear the prayers we lift to you this day.
In this time of political upheaval, natural disasters, and a reckoning with our nation's historic racial inequity, may our words and actions bring healing and assurance, comfort and joy, reconciliation and relief. As we tend to these events, help us remember the joys in our lives, great and small, such as the return of young voices to TLC this week at the reopening of the TLC preschool. Bless the students and teachers with your love and calm our hearts as we call to you.
You have calmed and quieted my heart. Hear the prayers we lift to you this day.
Merciful God, we remember all those in our community who are ill or dying, remembering especially the family and friends of Joyce Enright, who recently passed. Keep her loved ones and all who are grieving in your care. We give thanks for those organizations that care for the many needs of people in our community. Food banks, medical support funds, housing assistance services, and so many others. Lifelines in sometimes unseen tragic situations. Keep us on the path of service and calm our hearts as we call to you.
You have calmed and quieted my heart. Hear the prayers we lift to you this day.
Constant God, guide us to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, and look to the interests of others. Give us the mind that was in Christ Jesus, for we know it is God who is at work in us. Trusting you to calm our hearts, we call to you.
You have calmed and quieted my heart. Hear the prayers we lift to you this day. Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a greeting of peace. If you are alone, you may want to pause the video and call someone and wish them a happy Sunday this morning.
Peace be with you.
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 Peace be with you. One day closer.
Stay safe.
Just a few announcements this morning. The altar flowers are given by Orion. He dedicated the altar flowers in love and thanksgiving to all of the essential workers that he works with at Payless, but also to those in the larger community who make our day-to-day lives possible. Orion also gave thanks for the essential faith workers here at Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm going to call on Deacon Amy now as she's going to share a few announcements with us this morning.
Good morning. A lot of great things happening in the Christian Education Department.
In Adult Ed, we are gathering every Sunday morning at 9:30. Linda Neverman has a great slate of speakers lined up. Next Sunday, which is October 4th, Reverend David Shane will be speaking about lessons from the garden. Should be very interesting. If you would like to be included on that email list to get that Zoom invitation, let us know in the church office and we will make sure to send it to you. Pastor Eric's Wednesday morning Bible study also continues with Zoom. Again, if you'd like to be on that email list, let us know in the church office. Youth, we have a lot of great things going on with our youth as well. We are meeting virtually with Zoom. We're also putting together some packets and sending home emails with a lot of videos and great information. Again, make sure that we have your contact information in the office so you can be included in all of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Deacon Amy. Finally, a thank you to all of you. Your generosity and your support helps to keep this community going, and we are always and ever thankful for your support. We dedicate now our gifts and our entire lives to God as we sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever, now and forever. Amen.
Forgiven, uplifted, and called, wherever you may go, in every endeavor, take Jesus with you. Now may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, consistent with the calling of this day, Go Make a Difference.
Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We are the salt of the earth, called to let the people see the love of God in you and me. We are the light of the world, not to be hidden but be seen. Go make a difference in the world. Make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We are the hands of Christ, reaching out to those in need, the face of God for all to see. We are the spirit of hope. We are the voice of peace. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference. difference in the world. Come make a difference. We can make a difference. Come make a difference in the world. So let your love shine on. Let it shine for all to see. Come make a difference in the world. And the Spirit of Christ will be with us as we go. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world.
Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are one day closer. Until next time.
About being afraid, about being born and going away, about being still and being alone, knowing someone, being known, about some work I had to do, discovering some simple truth. Believing I was enough, and this has been a journey about love. Confirm everything about love I hope to learn. Confirm love's the key as far as I'm concerned. Love the answer, I don't doubt it. I don't want to live without it. Found I'm home with you and love's confirmed. Journey's been about being lost, about lines we draw and then have to cross, learning to wait and being wrong, about finding out where I belong. Confidence, authenticity, about things I've been afraid to be, about what it means to truly trust. And this has been a journey about love. Confirm everything about love I hope to learn. Confirm love's the key as far as I'm concerned. Love the answer, I don't doubt it. I don't want to live without it. Found I'm home with you and love's confirmed. Everything about love I hope to learn. Confirm love's the key as far as I'm concerned. Love's the answer, I don't doubt it. I don't want to live without it. Found I'm home with you and love's confirmed.